podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get right to it with Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven. It was, you know, I don't know, replayed everywhere. I couldn't talk to anybody this weekend without having a conversation related to this news conference on Friday in the Oval Office with J.D. Vance and President Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky and others watching. And so we welcome in the professor here, pretty much an expert on this region in political science in general. Professor Schmidt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I got a lot of questions. I guess I just wanted to open it up to you. Just what are your, you know, I mean, I know you're, well, I don't want to color it in any way. What were your thoughts on what you saw on Friday?
I didn't have a lot because my mind was exploding while watching it. It took a while to sort of process what had just happened. I was watching it live and I was just, I had no words. I've never seen anything like that in politics before.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I don't think Zelensky was totally an innocent operator. He knew the cameras were rolling and, you know, he wants to leverage what he can to get, you know, he wants to get into NATO. On the flip side, I understand that, you know, NATO is a touchy thing for Ukraine because if they're in NATO and something happens, we do have World War III. Because if you follow the articles of NATO, if they got touched, everyone would have to jump in. So there's a lot at stake. It's not just Ukraine that's at stake here. But I guess, did you think it was performative to the point where Trump and Vance did it on purpose, or did something trigger them to go the route they went?
I think if you look at Zelensky, he was just tired. He was just exhausted and he was tired of the BS. And he was finally sort of snapped in that moment and said, you know, look, I've listened to you guys talk like this for years and I'm going to set the record straight. Let's not forget, right, what's really going on. Let's not forget that Russia invaded my country. Let's not forget that we've been trying diplomacy for years. And so, you know, I'm tired of you guys lying about the record. And then we were off to the races at that point. And then I think you saw, I mean, basically I thought Zelensky was going to punch Vance at one point, and then you saw his actor's face, you know, turn back on and he was like, okay, I got to stay in control. And I, you know, that's what I think happened. I don't think it was planned on his part to sort of snap like that for a second.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious, we're talking with Matthew Schmidt, political science professor at University of New Haven here in Bryan & Company. Do you have a theory or an opinion? There's these reports that they're going to stop, you know, offensive, cyber, you know, espionage,
cyber tech,
on Russia and, you know, this UN vote and now this, and it seems like that this is all a pretext to try to push Zelensky out of power. Why do you think that President Trump seems to be so constructive on Putin and Russia?
I think there's a sort of, you know, psychological affinity between the two. They think about power the same way. I think that Donald Trump is attracted to the way that, you know, Vladimir Putin exercises power, the way that he can just do what he wants and he doesn't have to worry about 40 lawsuits at the Supreme Court. And he's just in that way, you know, has the same psychology as Putin and wants the same kind of free hand. You know, which we've been talking about for years about his approach to strongman leaders. I think in the end, Trump has a really sort of juvenile, right, teenage view of what power and strength is. And that's what you saw on display when Zelensky snapped back and said, this isn't cards, right? This isn't a game. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have died here. And I think it kind of comes down to that simple difference.
I think the crucial set of questions are about what happens next. I mean, I said this earlier in the show. It's like when your enemy is still your enemy and your strongest ally now feels like an enemy, where do you go? And it seems like he, you know, Zelensky is running to Europe, but I mean, Europe's historical track record here is not necessarily great.
Yeah, I don't think he has, a lot of options at this point. I think you're going to see, you've already seen that he's trying to walk things back. He's trying to apologize. I think in the end it's going to work because it works for Donald Trump to be the guy that shows mercy. As long as Zelensky comes back and sort of, bows down and says the number of thank yous that are required and the I'm sorry's, it works in Trump's favor to be able to be that guy. As far as Europe, you saw this fantastic speech by Frederiksen of Denmark the other day, saying Europe was going to be here and defend Ukraine, saying 3% wasn't enough. We had to do more. All of that is great and fantastic, but it's really hard to get Europe to move together as one. And it takes time to spend that, 3% or that 5% in a way that gives you an actual deterrent. Yeah. And Zelensky's looking out going, we're going to settle this thing. There'll be some kind of ceasefire this year, most likely. But what do we do 2-3 years from now when Putin has rested and rearmed?
All right, two quick questions for you. They're not quick necessarily. Matthew Schmidt, professor of political science at the University of New Haven here on Brian and Company. What is actually happening on the war on the ground? I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot. I don't know what's happening.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's basically the meat grinder that's been going on. The big things are that Ukraine still holds ground in Russia, which gives it some kind of leverage, but Russia is also continuing to make gains slowly and at great cost.
And what about this mineral deal? How did you view it?
It was always strange. The way it was coming out in the end here, where the U.S. had finally sort of backed off the extortion payment version of it, was good. I think Ukraine should have taken it. And in this sense, I think that Zelensky really kind of screwed up in snapping in that moment. But we'll see where we're at in the end here.
Interesting. So he bears some responsibility. I think ultimately the takeaway, because it morphed into what I thought was like unfortunate that the left says this, the right says this, when I was trying to look at it just from what I saw. And if you look at it from what you see, I mean, he bears some responsibility for what happened in that room on Friday.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He screwed up. He was right in what he was saying, but he shouldn't have said it there. And he took the bait, and he's put his country in a weaker position right now because of it.
Mm. All right, Professor. We have like 30 seconds. Any angles to this that aren't being put forth in the mass media here that people should know about?
I think the most important thing is that what we've seen collapse is the idea of collective security, the idea that in a world of weapons of mass destruction, you have to defend yourself not on your own, even for the U.S. as the strongest country in the world, but together with other allies. This is what we've had to do since we created nuclear weapons. And you've got nukes, you've got bio, you've got AI supporting all of this. And if that structure of collective security goes down, it's going to be a really ugly few decades here, because somebody's going to pop a bomb off, or somebody's going to, have a bioweapon out there because we're not working together and stopping the precursors and stopping the materials and stopping the technology from proliferating. And that's really the big picture here.
Professor, great stuff. We really appreciate the ability to have these conversations. Have a great day.
You too.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.